Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
There and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. My name is, you guessed it, Gary Zimak, and I'm going to be here with you for the next 30 minutes. Hey, I am excited about today's program. It's a very different kind of topic. Now we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I call today's show "Playing on the Same Team." Now let me explain what this means. It's going to be a tough one to deliver, because I want to make sure that I get this right. And that's why in just a couple of minutes, I'm going to, as I do each week, I'm going to ask the Father to send me a special outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Because I want to make sure I get this message exactly right, because it can be misconstrued. Now, here's what I mean by playing on the same team. We live in a world that is very much not driven by Christian values. Essentially, a pagan world. I don't think that's too out of the question to say that, because really, Christianity is not the guiding force, the driving force behind many of the governmental decisions that we see made, many of the actions of various individuals, not just the leaders, but people in general, aren't exactly indicative of a lifestyle of Christianity. So, As Christians, we don't have as loud of a voice as I really think we should. Does that make sense? I mean, as followers of Christ, we're expected to live a certain way, and we should be able to say, you should be able to identify a Christian not just by their actions, but by what they say. But based on that, we have various factions, I guess I'll use that word, within the Catholic Church, people who disagree with one another in areas that we really shouldn't be disagreeing. You know, doctrine is doctrine, and dogma is dogma. I mean, if the Church speaks clearly on something, we shouldn't be disagreeing, but we see that within the Church and also among the various Christian denominations. We see a lot of difference there as well. You know, each of these various denominations believes in the Bible and claims to be guided by the Bible, but yet there is differences in the interpretation of the Bible, and therefore we have different variations. So we have division in the Christian world. And that includes the Catholic Church, which we as Catholics believe we have the fullness of truth. We believe that we are the Church founded by Jesus Christ. But we're divided in ourselves, within our own faith. We have divisions, and then you bring the Christian disagreements into the mix, and you got a lot of division. Now, the message here is, and this is going to be, this is a nuanced message. I got to be very careful because I don't want you to get the wrong idea. I call this playing on the same team, because as Christians, right, whether you're Catholic, whether you're evangelical, whether you're Pentecostal, whether you're mainline Protestant, whatever your particular brand of Christianity is, we really need to find a way to work together to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ to a world which has pretty much decided to suppress the message of Christ. Okay, now I'm not saying that's easy. That's challenging. Because we as Catholics have major doctrinal differences with many of our Protestant brothers and sisters. But we have things in common too. So I'm going to read these readings today, and I want you to listen to what the Word of God says today. And I think that, and this is my belief, and I think it comes through these readings. I think we need to concentrate on some of the things we have in common, such as being pro-life, such as living our lives based on God's word in Scripture, such as the belief that Jesus Christ died for our sins on Calvary and makes it possible through his victory on the cross for us to live forever in heaven, such as we have a Father in heaven who provides for our needs. See, these beliefs, these can be common beliefs. Most of them are. Now, even being pro-life, sadly, not every Christian denomination believes that abortion is murder. But many of them do. So on certain important core issues, we got to find some common ground so that as Christians, we can become a majority once again. Because this world and this world's problems would be improved drastically, and we would have less division and less hatred if everyone lived by the Christian principles that we claim to be living by. You know, and I'm not talking about atheists, and I'm not talking about people who are not Christians. I'm just talking if everyone who claimed to be a Christian, who claims to be a Christian, or whether they attend church or not, if we all as Christians start acting like Christians, this world's going to be a different place. And you can see why this is a tough message, because we do have differences in the way we believe. But just listen to what Jesus says in the gospel and listen to the first reading today. We're going to look at the mass readings from the 26th Sunday in ordinary time. And see what you think. I mean, to me, it's clear. We have got to find ways, without denying our differences, to work together to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's, you know, it's being done in certain cases. But I think, unfortunately, too many times what we do is concentrate on our differences. And again, I am not saying we deny them. We don't deny them. But we don't need to emphasize them more than we do what we have in common. You know, it's a matter of focus. So I'm kind of glad that this message is emanating forth from these readings this week. On the other hand, I'm not glad because it's a tough thing to talk about. So I'm going to do my best and ask the Lord to help me. Anyway, you're in for an interesting show. So I hope you settle in. And hey, would you do me a favor? Let's pray together, okay? Let's pray. And as we say this prayer, and I ask for the Father to pour out his Spirit on me so I can deliver the right words, would you say some extra prayers for me? You know, just make sure you're in on that with me, because I really don't want to mess this up. And it's a sensitive topic. So your praying along with me is really, really important. So let's do that now. Okay, let's place ourselves in the presence of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Father in heaven, you gave me a tough one today, but I know I can do it if you give me the words. Hey, Father, thank you for creating us. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus into the world to redeem us on the cross. Thank you for that place in heaven that you reserved for each one of us. Father, thank you for always being available whenever we need to turn to you in prayer. Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, we place ourselves in your presence right now. We recognize that you are with us. We recognize that you hear these words. We recognize that you see us. We recognize that you are more powerful than any problem that we could ever face. And with that in mind, Father, we lift up our intentions to you. We ask you to grant them if they're good for us. You know what's best, what's good for us. We ask you to grant relief to all who are suffering. We ask, Father, that you heal the sick and you give strength to the weary, especially those who are so discouraged with life that they may be contemplating suicide today. Please give them strength and hope. And Father, I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit today so that I can deliver the message that you want me to deliver. Help me not get in your way. Help me to say what you would like me to say. And Father, lastly, please open all of our minds and all of our hearts so that we may hear your message on this program today and put it into practice. Father, we ask these things in the name above all names, Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks. You see, I was asking, and I really believe the Father will guide me through the Holy Spirit. My name is Gary Zimek. This is the Gary Zimek Show, and it is such a pleasure to join you each week, whether you're listening to the podcast or whether you're listening on one of the many radio stations across the United States who carry the program. I'm just grateful to have you as a listener. I want to make you aware of something. So this program airs the weekend of it's the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. That Sunday would be September the 26th. So I want to make you aware that my new book, it's from the Word Among Us Press. The name of the book is Journey with God, Finding Peace and Happiness. And it's all about a step-by-step guide to knowing, loving, and serving God. You know, the purpose of life. That's why we're here, to know, love, and serve God. Well, what does that mean? How do we put that into practice? This book is my attempt at sharing that. The book is now available. And of course, it's available directly from the Word Among Us Press. It's available from Amazon.com and all online booksellers. But you can also get it by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. You can find out more about my latest book there. I'll talk more about it as we go forward in the weeks to come. But I wanted to let you know that I am excited about it. You're going to probably hear me on some national radio shows talking about the book. I'm always thrilled to be able to deliver this message because I think it's one that we need to hear right now. It's something that has been asked of me. Well, what does it mean? How do I have a relationship with God? I can't see him. And it's challenging. You know, you got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit, none of whom you can see in a traditional way. You know, I don't see Jesus in the flesh like he was seen 2,000 years ago. Well, how do I have a relationship with him? And it's challenging, but that's what this book is all about. What does it mean to know, love, and serve God? How do you do that? Again, followingthetruth.com is the place to go for that or to find out about any of my books. Okay, let me take a sip of my coffee. I got some black coffee here today. It's going to be a complicated show, at least for me. So I want to make sure I got my coffee. I'm going with the hard stuff today, you know, some good black coffee to to get me going. Yeah, but this is, I'm kidding around, but this is a really important topic and one that we should all be concerned with. The idea of working with our fellow teammates, playing on the same team, Team Jesus. How do we do that? Because we got a world, many of whom are playing on Team Satan, right? We as Team Jesus have to combat them, and all Christians have to unite for that to happen. Let's take a look at what Jesus had to say. I'm going to start with the gospel, as I always do. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. Listen to this. At that time, John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow us." Does that sound familiar? You know, and again, that doesn't mean that we compromise as Catholics the truth. We know and we believe that we have the fullness of truth in Catholicism as the church founded by Jesus Christ. However, We got to be careful that when someone else, someone from another Christian denomination, is proclaiming the truth, that we're not ignoring what they're saying, you know, something that we agree with. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and I'm surrendering my life to him. We don't want to say, but yeah, but that guy, he's an evangelical, so I don't want to hear what he has to say. No, we want him on our team, because united, we are going to make a difference as Christians. That does not mean we agree with everything he says. You see the difference there? But what I see now is, and it's unfortunate, is a lot of people claiming to be Christians pointing fingers at the person rather than listening to the message. Oftentimes we agree on the message, but we start to attack somebody because they might not believe everything that we believe. And it not only happens among Catholics and various Christian denominations, it happens between Catholics, liberal, conservative, moderate, all kinds of labels, right? Disagreeing with one another when we need to be playing on the same team. Okay. How did Jesus respond to this? Jesus said, do not prevent him. There is no one who performs a mighty deed in my name who can at the same time speak ill of me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward. So in other words, we have to recognize when, even though we think we're on different teams, you know what it reminds me of? Like when I was young, I mean, it still goes on, but I was a bigger fan when I was younger, the baseball All-Star game. You know, I used to love it. It was such a big event. I'm trying to think of the first one I saw when I became a baseball fan on TV. I think it was like 1968 or 1969 when I really became a baseball fan. And I thought it was cool that all of these players from different teams were on the same team. I grew up in Philadelphia, so I was a National League fan. So they were all on the National League team. And for an instant, your various team rivals, they weren't rivals. They were teammates. So we had the people from the Pirates and the Cubs and the Astros and the Mets playing alongside the Phillies. Although back in those days, as a Phillies fan, we weren't too good. So we would get the one. I think every team had to have one person on the team. It was mandated. So we would always get the one player, like the pitcher who was the relief pitcher who was warming up in the bullpen and never got to come into the game. But you know, like players from different teams were playing on the National League or the American League team. So that's what we're talking about here. We need to start playing on Team Christian and making some headway against those trying to squash the Christian message. Jesus said then, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were put around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than with two hands to go into Gehenna, into the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life crippled than with two feet to be thrown into Gehenna. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into Gehenna, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Yeah, there are a few different sub-messages that you can get from this gospel. But I think you're going to see when we look at the first reading, and that's how you can sometimes try to get the idea of, well, why is the church pairing this gospel, this first reading, and this responsorial psalm? What's the common theme? And I think at least what I see emerging is the fact that there's a truth. There's a truth that emerges from Christianity. And all of us who claim to be Christians, to one degree or another, can tap into that truth. And if we concentrate on what we have in common, we could be powerful. Now, and then we could work together to dialogue. And that's the key. Like, as someone who believes, as a Catholic who believes in the real presence of Jesus Christ, I want to be able to share that with my non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters, because they might not, and for the most part, they don't believe in that. But what a great thing to be able to try to explain to them, no, this is really Jesus. You know, so we don't want to deny our differences. We want to evangelize. We want to help other people come into the fullness of the truth. But not at the expense of working together as brothers and sisters, as members of the body of Christ, because as a Catholic, I believe, and according to the church, this is the teaching, that everyone who is baptized is a member of the body of Christ. Some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, for example, even though they're baptized, they're part of the body of Christ, but they're separated in a sense. They're still part of the body, but there's a separation there. So, you know, there are differences, but yet they still are. The Catholic Church recognizes Christian baptisms, valid Christian baptisms, which are done in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That Trinitarian formula is recognized as being valid by the Catholic Church. So we don't want to just throw everything out, you know? There's a lot we can concentrate on, things that we have in common. And then, you know, Jesus is talking about whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, not necessarily children, but people who may not be as up to speed, who may be new to the faith or maybe who don't believe everything that we believe. We got to be careful that we don't do anything that would harm their relationship with Christ, you know, and that comes from the bickering, finger pointing, nitpicking, you know, that kind of stuff. Let's look at the first reading and let's see if we can find some of a common thread here. This is a reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 11, verses 25 through 29. The Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to Moses, taking some of the spirit that was on Moses. The Lord bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, they prophesied. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, were not in the gathering, but had been left in the camp. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. Yet the spirit came to rest on them also. And they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man quickly told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. You know, two guys that are not necessarily part of the inner circle, part of the group. They're prophesying as well. Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. Kind of like what was happening in the gospel today, right? But what did Moses say? Moses answered him, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Would that the Lord might bestow his spirit on them all. You know, we can't control how the spirit works. Now, if you're somebody my age or older, you remember what was going on with the charismatic renewal that took place. I remember being introduced to it in the late 70s, where you had Catholics and various members of Protestant churches, Pentecostals, evangelicals, getting together and concentrating on that movement of the Holy Spirit. In other words, concentrating on what they have in common as opposed to what they have, what they differ upon. And that was a powerful movement. And that's the kind of thing we have to consider today. We as Christians need to work together because we can change the world for the better. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 19, the precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true, all of them just. Though your servant is careful of them, very diligent in keeping them, yet who can detect failings? Cleanse me from my unknown faults, from wanton sin especially. Restrain your servant. Let it not rule over me. Then shall I be blameless and innocent of serious sin. The precepts of the Lord give joy to the heart. And what we're focusing on here is the law of the Lord, the teaching of Christ. You know, even though we might look at it a little differently, what do we have in common? How can we work together to promote God's kingdom, to enable it to grow? And while at the same time trying to bring everyone who might be a Christian but not Catholic into the fold and let them know the truth that we hold, what we believe, right? We can't do that if we alienate them. And that's, it's challenging, again, because, and you know, you can go the other way with this. You can compromise so much you change the teachings of the church. We don't want to do that. That's wrong. Let's look at the second reading, James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Come now, you rich, weep and wail over your impending miseries. Your wealth has rotted away. Your clothes have become moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded. And that corrosion will be a testimony against you. It will devour your flesh like a fire. You have stored up treasure for the last days. Behold, the wages you withheld from the workers who harvested your fields are crying aloud. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on earth in luxury and pleasure. You have fattened your hearts for the day of slaughter. You have condemned. You have murdered the righteous one. He offers you no resistance. And here we see an example of the way of the world, the way that so many in the world have gone, living for pleasure, living for the moment, doing what feels good, taking advantage of one another, hating people, right? All that kind of, all that stuff. This is what we're up against. We've got to be really careful that we don't fall into that, because any of us could, even if we're trying to do the right thing. It's easy to get so mad at somebody in the name of Jesus, right, that you can start picking them apart, attacking them personally. We don't want to do that. So again, as we bring this show to a close today, let's just focus on that commonality of belief, I guess you would say. What do we believe in common? And how can we, members of various Christian denominations along with the Catholic Church, how can we work together to proclaim the good news, to get the word of Jesus out there? Ask the Spirit to guide you, and let's see what happens, okay? Hey, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. I really am so grateful that you're able to listen to the show today. God willing, I plan to be back with you here next week. I hope you will be able to join me. And as always, if you're able to contribute to my ministry financially, I would really be grateful. You can do that by going to followingthetruth.com and securely making a contribution through PayPal or becoming a monthly sponsor. I really do need the help, so I'm thankful that you're willing to at least listen to me. And if you have contributed already, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm so grateful. But if you haven't, and you like my message, and you like my ministry, which is a full-time ministry, to continue and help me to go forward spreading the good news, please consider becoming a sponsor or making a one-time donation to my ministry by going to followingthetruth.com. So I guess that's all I have for now. I hope you have a fantastic week. Continue to follow the lead of the Spirit. You know, even if it's just be careful how you interact with others, both on social media and in person. As Christians, we're supposed to act a certain way. And in order for us to advance the cause of the kingdom, people expect a certain difference in the way we behave. And we want to behave like Jesus does. And we, through the Holy Spirit, that is possible. So I'm going to try. I hope you'll try. You are in my prayers, as always. Just please keep me in your prayers as well. And have a great week. I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.